Welcome, everybody. It is PMP Weekly episode 127. It is 17th of May, 2021. Summer is coming. We're having first summer thunderstorm in Helsinki, which is really, really cool. So I really, really like that. And of course, it clears the air as well, which is good. Pollen, big thing in spring in Helsinki. Now, in this episode, we're going to talk about pollen and spring and the summer weather. In the PMP Weekly, we talk about the latest on Microsoft 365. platform and in general, and typically we do have a visitor in the show as well. My name is Esa Juvonen. I'm a program manager in Microsoft 365 platform side, and with me as a co-host is the cloud advocate, the man himself, the myth,
Waldeck. Rick. Hi everybody, my name is Waldeck Mustegas. I am cloud developer advocate for Microsoft 365, and today with us we have a guest from Belgium. Microsoft Most Valuable Professional, published author, Teams developer, Rick Van Roosel.
Rick. These days, I try to do some Teams development, but it's not always the case. We still, once you have that SharePoint stamp on you, it's hard to shed it.
So you're still getting a lot of, at least you have something to do and get paid, right?
Yeah. We have a lot of people to get paid. Luckily, there's like this US-based company that does weekly updates on this cloud thingy and gives us, it's a consistent stream of work. It's pays the bills, though.
But technically, you are a CTO in the company, which you are a partner as well. So how big of a company is it?
It's a Dutch-Belgium company, so I'm part of the Belgium side, and we are now six people, I guess, so it's not that big. Last year we lost some people, this year some people come along. You know how it works, people leave, people come along. So we try to go. In the Netherlands, they're way bigger than us, they're like 50 people or something, so it's a totally different ballgame. But the cool thing about having a small company is I think on Tuesdays and Thursdays we do like a stand-up, we call it, to use the sprint term, stand-up, but actually just, call with everyone and, hey, how are you doing? How's your wife? How's your girlfriend? So that's the cool thing about having a small company. So we all know what we're doing.
Yeah. And it's even though you're a CTO, as a chief technical officer, you're still using a lot of your time having one-to-one discussions.
PowerPoints. I still have to go to customers. I'm 3 days a week at one customer where I've been for 6 years now. So that's way too long. So I'm getting that's really way too long. And then I have another customer for 2 days in a week. So I still have to go to customers and I also do incidents every now and then when there's a ticket coming in. So this week is my turn. So I do just normal incidents. So
You do incidents or you fix incidents?
Yeah, I try to fix them. I usually create more of them, but that's a different story. I usually say somebody else did that, but hey, let's try this execute this command. Oh no, wrong button. Oh no. So,
but isn't that actually a really good way of keeping yourself up to date on what's happening? So doing the incidents as well, because that way you're up to date on what people are suffering and what are the bugs and what are the issues and all of that. So the Waldeck also mentioned that you authored a book. What was the book all about?
I think the official name was Pro Microsoft Teams Development. It's about getting started with Teams development, getting started. There's a lot of documentation already from Microsoft. How do you do your first Teams app? So I did want to start there. So I think the first topic covers that a little bit, getting started. But there's enough documentation around that. It's more like getting into a little bit deeper. Okay, what's the use case? Why would you do it? And how does it work at a lower level? Because you can just write some code and you show something on the screen. But how is the communication between teams? And it's a different world these days. It's all online. So especially at certain enterprise customers where you come along and you say the magic word, I need to use ngRock, then you get like 10 security officers behind you like, no, that's SSH tunneling. Are you crazy? We built this entire wall to block that and now you're going to open that? No. And then downloading illegal torrents and all that stuff. So that's that was actually the first connection I got with Teams development. That, yeah, it's not that simple sometimes. So yeah.
Which is, I think, an interesting segue, right? So if you think about development for Teams, like, what is the thing that you see people struggle with the most?
I think, first of all, it's a smart move of Microsoft. They use the bot framework for a lot, but yeah, it's not that well known. Right, if you know about bots, then you know about it. But yeah, people just say, okay, I'm starting with a Teams tab, which is just an iframe, which is normal development. People know how that works. They've seen that before. But then you start with, okay, I want this extension. Oh yeah, but that uses the bot framework and that talks totally different to Teams than a tab or with the Teams SDK. So this totally different. So then you see like people, oh, this is the next level. This is not normal, not the way I created the first tab. So that's, on the other hand, it's a good thing that Microsoft didn't invent the platform again and they reused something else. Just say what they use SharePoint framework for the tabs. Same thing. It's reusable, reuse it so people already know it. But yeah, it's a total different step when you start really with Teams development. So yeah. And yeah, getting it deployed, and it's all still, yeah, okay, the product's now 4 years old, I guess. Yeah, so it's, yeah, the life cycle is not that perfect yet. To getting started is okay, but once you have your app and then doing an update, and because yeah, these days everybody's online 24/7, Teams app's on your phone, so if you build an app for that, then you're okay. In the past, we could say, oh, let's go offline on Sunday and we could do an easy deployment and it's getting well. Yeah, we can test something and then by Sunday evening, everything's okay. We'll get it going again. But yeah, it's not the case anymore because people see stuff peeking around on their phone and they're like, why is this thing calling me at Sunday? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we did something. Oh, no. So yeah.
incident.
Yeah. So yeah. It's a different world, but still fun. Makes it challenging. So
Before we started recording, you mentioned that not that many customers, at least in, I don't know if it's a regional thing in Belgium, but let's talk about that actually, because your company works in Netherlands as well, which is the way ahead of the curve always, typically, to get over Scandinavia. But you mentioned that not that many customers yet kind of understand the value of the Teams platform. Can you elaborate that slightly? So what do you mean with that?
Yeah, they. I think most of them moved to Teams really fast because of the COVID situation. Some of them were already there, but yeah, it's still, they still see it as, they come from a Skype world, so they still see it as, oh, okay, I can have meetings here, and I have my calendar here, oh, and I have files. Well, that's a really added value to Skype, I mean to Teams. And then, yeah, to tell them, okay, but people are there, you need to prepare that information that you have in some kind of different web application or another application, show it to them in Teams. That's, yeah, getting that added value shown is a little bit more harder because they know their files and they see the added value files, but sometimes, yeah, an integration with another app is it's not always easy to sell. I don't have to say sell, but yeah, it's to show the added bonus. And especially, yeah, then the bots, it's also far away for some people. Some customers, they're like, yeah, bots, yeah, we have 20 of bots already running. We have one on our website. We have one where people can ask HR questions. We have another one that does leaves. So, and then it's another conversation. Then if you say, yeah, but this thing is always online. Well, it's always online. Yeah, it's a bot. And why is it? What does it do? And how can I talk to it? So, yeah, it's a different conversation sometimes. We have one customer that's still living in the past. So, yeah. Hard conversations. Yeah, we can do a bot in Teams. Bot? No. That's too new. You're going to scare people away. That's too new. They already learned Teams last year, and they're still using file servers for the other stuff. So, wait, but using Teams? And where do you put your files? Yeah, the file server. Yeah, but you can also put... No,
G-drive,
no.
Right?
Can't you make like a connection between the file server and Teams? No. Let's not do that. So
before we go there, how can we fix that? But what is your, basically, when you're not doing then team stuff, what is the, which capabilities have the highest demand for you in Microsoft 365 right now? So what are the things, what kind of projects your company is doing?
Oh, it depends. We still have a few migration projects, not that much, but and these days it's weird. The last 2-3 months. So I think because of COVID, a lot of companies started using Microsoft 365, meaning they got out their credit card and they just paid for a license and they start using it. And these, I don't know what's going on. The last 2 months, we get a lot of calls from like companies like 10 people, 8 people, 16 people. Yeah, we've been putting it off, but can you look at our tenant? Well, because we just, we bought the licenses, we're using it, but we have no idea what we're doing. I had a call 2 weeks ago. Was there this owner of a company with 8 people? They do like marketing stuff, or I don't know what they did, but and like, look, this is our IT admin. She has a master's degree in economics, so she's the smartest one of us all. So she has to do the IT stuff. The girl was like, "Yeah, I'm just clicking away." Yeah, and we have issues with our DNS, and all our mails get into spam. But because I googled this and I changed the DNS setting, so I think it's okay. And I googled this and I changed this on Exchange, but I think it's okay. But we still come into spam, and I'm like, "Okay, we'll help you with that one." And then during that call, we were like, did you turn on MFA? What's MFA? You log in with your phone when you log in your password. No, we didn't do that. Yeah, because the phishing these days, you have to be really careful. Hey, now that you mention it, I was in a meeting yesterday with my boss and he was emailing me, but it was so weird because he was sitting next to me in the meeting. We were like,
don't open this.
Yeah, and contact him now to change his password, please. So yeah, it's the last 2 months been doing. We're getting a lot of calls, but that's stuff we do on the side. Day here, day there. So it's stuff we do on the side. All the other projects are either at one of our customers. We have I'm not involved that much. They sometimes consult me if they have like questions, but they have like the biggest SharePoint framework project I have ever seen. They've been building a SharePoint frameworks web. It's not single web part, but stuff for 2 years now. APIs and integrations, and it's the code base, it's huge. We had like halfway through the project, we're gonna have a little bit of a knowledge gathering, and it was like after 1 hour, I was like, what the hell did you it's huge. Workflows and flow, then now they used flow to send like emails and automated stuff. They have to now migrate away from flow because they're doing more than 5,000 actions a day, so that's not going okay, so they're moving to something else. I think they're moving to totally custom now, so API call and all that stuff, and authentication. I get a lot of people ask me a lot of help for authentication. Apparently, ADAL, MSL, Azure Active Directory, it's still hard for most developers.
Yes.
And I need,
we hear this every week, right?
Yes.
And I tell everyone, it's okay, it's hard, but just take a day off. Take a day off. And learn, once you figure it out, it's easy. But you have to get past that point. So that's still a hard one.
Yeah.
And trying to make sure that everybody uses it correctly. And then one of my customers, financial institution, they're great. Those security guys, and we need an app ID and a secret. No, you don't. Why? Because we built this entire wall with like an ADFS server that you can only use when you're inside of the network, meaning from outside you can never log on. And now you're coming along with a secret that can be used anywhere in the world. So building a layer on top of that and another layer on top of that and key vault here. And so so it's getting
VPN hard. Because because you cannot bring your own device, right? So you have to VPN into the corporate network.
They've been rolling out a bring your own device, but you still get the device, but you don't need to VPN into the network anymore. And that project been going on for 2 years now because of testing. And then you can call Microsoft, it's easy. Your SharePoint is online, Teams is online, so that all works if they just allow it to be accessed from outside. It works, but like internal,
it's just everything else.
It's all the other stuff. But then again, that customer still has like it has an issue finding people that are over 60 because they still have mainframe. So financial stuff. Your money is on mainframe. It is on mainframe.
That is actually true in many cases. Well, that's the
interesting
true.
Thing is, right? Because you cannot run anything else on it. It's safe. Like no viruses. Yeah. Like you cannot run it. It simply won't run.
It works perfectly. Okay, you still need an 8-character password and nothing else because that's the only thing that works because they have like that many bits and bytes to go. But okay, that's a different story.
But in those cases, it's actually, when you think about it, I just came from my studies and just memory related on this one. But for financial and insurance companies, it's an interesting challenge, because whenever they're investing on a new system to store the data, they need to think 20 years ahead or 30 years ahead to be able to access the information which was 30 years ago saved. So you have to have some sort of a reliable system. Yeah, exactly. You have to have some sort of a reliable system to save the data for 30 years or 40 years or 50 years. Even in current CDs, they just don't last. So it's an interesting challenge for sure. Luckily, we as a consultant in Microsoft 365, we don't need to worry about this kind of stuff. It's a slightly different discussion typically.
I'm happy sometimes. Yeah. If I hear those stories, no, that it just cannot go down. For us, it's all okay. SharePoint's down. People can't read the news today. Yeah, okay. Nobody can. Okay, it's annoying, but in the end, the CEO doesn't know my name, and let's keep it that way.
Now coming back on let's say the differences of the, then for example Belgium and Netherlands and the rest of the Europe, you kind of mentioned that for example in Netherlands there's a higher demand for the Teams adaption. So is this something what you're seeing, that it's basically certain countries are hit off the curve and then they're adapting things more efficiently, or how do you see the difference?
Yeah, it's and I think it's also a cultural thing. It's not per se, by country or something, because we have a customer now and it's a global customer, and you see the differences between the US, they're based in Australia, and they're based in Europe. And you see the differences that they have to put into effort of adoption. I don't know how it comes, a cultural thing maybe in Europe, especially the Belgium, the Netherlands, northern part, we're growing accustomed to, things change. Things change and okay. Let's just take it, and tomorrow that button's on the right side, and I have a new phone with other buttons. Okay, let's just deal with it. Well, when we look at Australia, the US, it's I don't know, maybe it's a cultural thing. It's like no, it works. Keep it that way. Just keep it that way because it works. So it's a different. Yeah. But we also see a lot of adoption and user training and all that stuff that goes into Teams. Yeah, it's. It's a new tool, so it's a new world, new ballpark, and people are still figuring it out. I don't have to tell you guys, the blog posts about the adoption and the frameworks that exist about adoption, they change weekly. Somebody invents something new. It's difficult to say, because I know one customer who, when they moved to SharePoint Online 5 years ago, they spent a load of money in adoption, road shows and people doing nothing but you walk in time, you can just walk into the kiosk and you can ask questions, they will help you. And now they went live with Teams and they just did the opposite. They said, okay, let's not invest anything, let's just go live with it. And people still adopt it. Okay, you get weird situations because, you get more incidents because people do freaky stuff because they never had any proper training. But still, it still works. So, it's also, I think, based off usability and, especially in the beginning. Now there's a little bit more in Teams regarding features. But SharePoint features, there's a million of them. So it's more difficult to explain, of course. Yeah, you have this. Sure. Try explaining security into SharePoint to an end user. You have this level and the next level. And I lost them. Ah, oh, too bad.
Share files with everybody. Everybody and I.
So related on the, let's say, the adaption hub and let's say where your company as a partner is making money, how have you seen the previous, let's say, 5 to 10 years, your business transform? A significant change on where are you making money versus how you were making money in the past?
I wasn't at the company myself, but when I especially in the Netherlands, when they started out, they were it were all developers, they all did development, it was all development on SharePoint server, and you had guys installing SQL. My partner always says it, they spent 30 days before anything was done yet, they set up SQL, set up Active Directory, set up disk, set up SharePoint. And now these days, I think in the Netherlands especially, there aren't many developers left. It's all consultants. They all do. It used to be projects half a year, a year, really big ones. And these days, it's 5 days, 10 days, because they need help with this little thingy, or you set something up, or you have like your power apps and flow, it makes everything super fast and super, spend 2 days and project done, because you don't need to build a UI framework first to get started. No, that's already there. So yeah, the type of projects has changed. Yeah, it's more, it's real consultancy these days.
Yeah, but I guess like if you look at engagement duration of few days or weeks tops, like that is, I can imagine that from sales point of view, that puts so much pressure and stress on your sales team or
sales
guys. Yeah, right? Because like, they need to all the time, like the moment they found engagement, they already need to start looking for another one.
Next
right?
Month.
Because it's
next month.
Days.
Yeah.
But the companies come back sooner. That's also the case, because it used to be they invested like heavily for a year, and then you spent that much money that they didn't want to see your face anymore for 2 years. Now these days you have like 10 days, 2 months later they call you again, 5 days, 2 months later they call you again, 10 days. And we're lucky, especially in Belgium, I'm attached to two customers where I like I said, I'm already 6 years at one customer. They will never. I'm all furniture there.
Yeah,
I've been there. I've been there so long that I can afford myself to be in meetings and just say after 10 minutes, "This meeting is boring. I don't care. I'm leaving." And then I'm leaving. So you're wasting my time. That means that I've been there way too long.
True. But have you, considering the change, have you kind of thought about the money impact? Is it actually, has it reduced the revenue for the company, or is it still company growing? There's a different set of roles needed, but still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year we had the best year ever, but that was due to the COVID situation. Especially I had that problem when it started. I thought, this is not going to end well. So I took on all the work I could take on. I worked I didn't have to commute, so I could easily work 12 hours a day or 14 hours a day, because my wife was used to that. I wasn't home that long, so because I didn't have to drive 2 hours to work, 2 hours back home. So, and then in the weekend, I just, there was nothing to do. So let's work. So we worked, because that's the thing when you have a company, of course, you feel responsible for those people. So I thought, if they lose their house because we cannot find any work for them, then it's my fault. So and then actually everything went okay. More and more customers came along. So we did like the best year ever, which was weird. But and then I still wrote a book where I don't know what I did. That lockdown stuff, it's really good. You cannot see anybody,
so
you cannot go
fun,
out.
Right?
And
I mean, you can bake bread, brew your own beer, and you still have time over, right?
Yeah, it's really weird. And then we had a lockdown, so people couldn't visit. And if they could visit, they had to leave by 12 o'clock at night. So that was even better. No more. Okay, still had hangovers, but I wasn't that tired.
another thing I'm interested in, right, is nowadays, especially we see like the pace of change is really high. Like you said, like every week there is something new. How do you see that affect your company? Like the amount of stuff people need to learn to just stay in a game.
Yeah, that you see that makes all the difference. You see people really burning out because of that, because they need to change and change and change and change. Okay, it's always been something in IT, because I've seen that a few times already with people. Okay, once they hit their 50s, they're like, I'm not doing this anymore. Every week, something else. Or it used to be every year, and then they start that. I'm going to do. I have to watch my language, of course, but I'm going to do something else. I'm going to be an IT manager, and that's easy because
I'm going to bake bread.
Because then I don't have to keep up to date with everything. But it keeps on changing. You see it a lot. People have to, not everybody's coping with that. That's not that easy. On the other hand, for us, it makes, it's perfect excuse for a consultant. Yeah, it's Microsoft fault. They changed something. But
but wouldn't that basically then kind of imply also that from a skill perspective, you need to be more a generalist rather than a specialist? So it's moving us into this direction where we need to know a bit on everything rather than deeply on one particular topic. So
I think 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you were brought in as the specialist, And then you couldn't say, I cannot find it. These days, you, it's way, everybody believes you if you just say, yeah, this is new. I also have to look at it because I have no idea. This has just been released yesterday. And people say, okay, they understand that these days that things change. And things change at a fast pace. So, yeah, it's a different story. But still, as long as it's challenging, it's fun. So
that's true. It doesn't get boring when it's actually challenging. That's the case as well. So absolutely. Now, should we actually jump for the articles for a bit? And then we'll come back on the discussion. So let me share my screen. So last week, there was a nice video from the Microsoft Mechanics behind the scenes on Microsoft Viva with Microsoft Mechanics. And this is a relatively short 9-minute video walking through the different applications, what they are in Microsoft Viva. We'll see more and more actually information and let's say a bit on the Viva in the next fiscal. So starting from July forward, Viva is certainly a big focus area for Microsoft. Well, how's your perception, Rick, on the Viva?
Personally, I think it's going to be a game changer. The naming is a little bit harder to explain to the customers. Yeah, because you have all the pieces that belong to Viva, and people just see Viva, and the conversations between customers amongst each other. They're talking about two different sets of, it's like Viva Connections, Viva Learning. They're talking about two different things, but they think they mean the same thing. So, naming, we have to be more... more direct on that to customers. I think that's something we should emphasize more, that there are different pieces of it.
And I personally like the fact that it's no longer about selling products as such, rather solutions. So Viva is a good example of a solution which is then done by Craft and OneDrive and SharePoint and all of that stuff. So it's a different set of things. Anyway, so moving on the articles. So Microsoft 365 Admin Center network connectivity is now generally available. So basically understanding network connectivity across the pond areas. So this is actually really, really cool and useful to understand how things are working across the structures. So really, really cool stuff. Customer key support for Microsoft Teams is now generally available. So basically for locking things, what is it? Distributed key manager. Isn't that for signing stuff? Yes, service encryption with the customer key. That's what it is. Bring your own key. Basically, all of the data within a tenant is secured with key, which you bring, and nobody else can actually access that, making it super, super secure. Super cool, for sure. This one from a SharePoint blog, experienced the magic of ESPC online training. ESPC is basically a conference concentrating on Microsoft 365 and Azure that's happening on 1st and 2nd of July 2021. A lot of familiar faces speaking in this conference and a lot of sessions coming up as well. So check it out. I think it's a free to attend, and then there's a bonus model if you pay something like they did.
Then you can keep the content, I guess. Then you can download the videos or view the videos later on or something. Yeah,
makes sense.
I also have a tutorial with the guy about
Teams development.
Teams development.
Surprise, surprise. Now, Viva Topics on the Hovercraft of Knowledge. So this is a internet podcast, intra-zone podcast with CJ Tan. She's a principal PM manager in the Viva Topics team. So basically a discussion on that one. What is it? What does it? Why does it matter? How is it built? And all of that stuff relates on all of the new material on here as well. Have you had a chance, Rick, on checking out the Viva Topics?
Topics. Viva I've checked out, but podcasts. Yeah, since I'm not commuting anymore, that's something I. That's something I can't do anymore. I really miss that. That's why.
But what's your feeling around Viva Topics as a functionality, for instance, from a product perspective?
I think it's good. It's depending on, because you need like a knowledge. Yeah, what's the correct term? A knowledge manager or somebody to manage the topics. But yeah, that's still a new job that needs to be created at some companies. But I think it's gonna be a game changer, especially for the big ones. The smaller like SMBs companies, it's a bit different story. But for the big ones, because there's a lot of issue on the knowledge topics and then gathering. You don't want to know how many knowledge bases I've created in my life.
Yes. And VivaTopics creates that knowledge base automatically, basically. So that's the beauty of it, for sure. So, but cool stuff for sure. Microsoft Graph news, Microsoft.NET SDK V4 adds enhanced feature now in preview. So please check it out, download and test it, and give us feedback related on that one. So there's a GitHub blog post, GitHub post available, and then providing in information in there. But it's super, super easy to install in the package manager console as well. So really, really cool stuff. Now, new release, new renewal offering for your apps, publisher attestation, and Microsoft 365 certification. So basically, updated information on how this works and additional features. This is quite often, actually, more and more customers are asking that, okay, I need to, somebody needs to verify who's bringing this application, and rather than just having a name or a title. And that's what this is all about. So having that certification on say, backing up that this is a real company providing this application. So
not simple. I did it last week for my app. Not simple. Do you know how many compliance ISOs there are? I didn't know that. Well, what the hell is this one? I had to look it up. How many of those are there?
Oh, yeah,
it's, not
a lot. Yeah,
yeah. But that obviously, then you've been verified, which is a good thing. So that then the end users are.
Yeah. After you do it, yeah, then you're verified. Then people really, absolutely. And you get like this flag next to your app. So
yes, yeah. Yes, which isn't actually visible here, unfortunately. That would have been a good picture. Anyway, Microsoft Graph Mailpack, Azure AD applications and user for testing. So functional information around that one. Graph Mailpack is a nice series on having different people from Microsoft and a community of writing stories related on Azure Graph and what's happening on that side. And related on Azure AD, there's obviously a great set of APIs available. Five new features enhancing adaptive cards in Microsoft Teams from last week as well. So adaptive cards is a way of defining how to render the data. And there's a all the time additional functionalities and features being released on this one. So which is really, really great. And there will be more new features and stuff released in Build Conference in next week, depending on when you're watching this video. Woo-hoo. Or listening to the podcast. Anyway, Xscription, Cloudflow, data manipulation. So basically, good story on that one. A use case for populating Excel from Cloudflows.
Power Automate.
Power Automate, yes.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Well, so they are called Cloudflows, yeah.
Really?
I've always called it Flows. Yes, because you also have I think there was the RPA, the Robotic Process Automation. These are the desktop flows nowadays.
Okay, could you learn new stuff as well? It's really hard to keep up to date on what's happening. From the PMP blog, Microsoft PMP Community Spotlight, Arjun Menon, good story about him. Good to showcase the people who are actively contributing in community. And he's been really active in CLI for Microsoft 365, which is super, super great. React groups and teams filter from Allison Collins. Allison is 14-year-old from US, and she did an absolutely brilliant demo in one of the community calls. And this is a blog post explaining the solution, what she has been implementing in SPFX. So if somebody's telling that SharePoint framework development is hard, here's a 14-year-old who's actually implementing stuff in SPFX. It's just a matter of learning and focusing on how it can be done.
You do know that there are now SharePoint framework developers crying, oh no, and I didn't do it right. There's a 14-year-old who did it.
Yes.
You have to be careful for people's feelings, Vesa.
That's true. That is true.
Exactly.
Yes. Getting started with Azure Shell and PMP PowerShell with certificates from Paul Pollack. So how to actually combine those and how to make that happen. So good story on that one in the blog post as well. So more easily, or using the PMP PowerShell easily in the cloud for automation. So PMP PowerShell is super, super widely used for automation scenarios. Setting up HTTPS for Teams Tap project without NTed ROC from Bob German, who's a cloud advocate, part of your team, actually, Valdek, right?
Correct.
And basically explaining how to do HTTPS without the NTed ROC. So really cool as well. Good blog post. And then Power Automate skip the parse, chase, and action to reference data. So from Tiago Hlon. story and pictures. Good clarification on that as well. Thank you, Django, on that one. Community sample, new sticker app, SPFX extensions from Ari Gunavan. Really good blog post related on how to make that kind of a ticker, the green thingy moving there. And then when you click one, you will be redirected to a news. This is if somebody needs this kind of a functionality. Cool. Resubmit your failed Power Automate false runs automatically using M365 CLI and REST API. So if something fails on Power Automate, how to resubmit that using a script. And there's a lot of. Do you have the latest count on different commands, just out of curiosity, on the CLI?
400, give or take.
Okay. So it's pretty decent. So a lot of, and this is a specific scenario as well, which you can use for automate things. So really, really cool stuff. SPFX People Search Web Part from Yannick Rickmans. So this is, I think it's an adaptation, well, based on a similar kind of thinking as the BMP Search Web Parts, but then extended to be its own implementation. And a really, really cool implementation for using Microsoft Graph for getting the information around the people and exposing the details about people using Graph Toolkit to get that detailed card and all of that to work. Really, really awesome stuff. Configure Teams application with Azure App Configuration, Node.js, smart from Marcus Miller, actually released earlier today.
He's back.
Having a baby takes your priorities slightly different. So, but really, really cool blog post as well. And then SharePoint Online CSS classes. So this one was from Denis Molitsov. So basically all of the different classes which we have in SharePoint Online pages. So
wow.
This helps on then building styles for your web parts or implementation. So you can actually kind of draw and use these classes for sure. So really, really cool. Teams and Power Apps building context team aware apps from Michael Mendes. Cool stuff as well. So being a context aware and those implementation, really, really cool stuff. And also understanding the theming and all of that stuff. So really, really cool stuff. Teams activity notification using Azure services. Teams activity has been a really lot of people have been liking this a lot recently. So basically, and this is walking through the process as well. So how we can actually notify, add those notifications in the Teams activity field. Now, I was away 4 days. I came back this morning and I had 98 notifications in my activity feed in Teams, which basically means that, and the downside of that is you once flip there, it's going to say zero. So
yeah.
So there's like no way for them to know which of them were actually important or which are not.
Well, you need to go through all of them.
yes, of course.
At once, right? Just yes. Single go, carve out 3 hours time, go through all of them.
Absolutely. Now, on the BMP.js, there's a new version 2.5 came out last week as well. Check it out. Really, really cool stuff. And BMP.js is going to be, it's more and more actually the way of accessing, especially REST APIs, SharePoint REST APIs in SharePoint framework implementation. It's SPFX Faster 3.0. It's all about simplicity and from Sergey Sergeyev. Really makes things super, super fast. The statistics are not here, but it's actually making SPFX development more than 10 times faster. And we're looking into potentially adapting some of this into product. Find who deleted files in SharePoint Online using PowerShell BMP from Veronique Langel. So basically, something is deleted. How do I get that information? Who has done that using BMP PowerShell? So really cool as well. Good script on that. And then a few videos, one from Paolo related on introducing Microsoft Graph Toolkit. So going move forward on that. Then we had a April Dunham video, Power Automate Share, get item changes, really important as well. So you can actually collect item changes and react on them. And then, for example, well, depending on the item change, then do a certain backup stories or whatever is needed. So really, really cool stuff. And then Reza Durrani, by the way, just crossed 15,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. I saw a celebration of that in LinkedIn. And it's really, really cool. Flow approval dashboard in the Power Automate for SharePoint. Really cool stuff as well. So walking through the process and explaining how things are working. And then the last thing, just to call out here, Megan Strand had a really nice 4 lesson long blog post or article series related on adaption and change management, and really, really good, like a how would I put it, not a technical topic and not technical skills, rather soft skills on which are important in our business as well. So really focusing on them as well. But cool. That's all from the articles, and then we're running out of time. What's happening this week? Anything interesting, Rick, on your side?
On my side, we had 4 days off as well, so getting back on track. And then what else are we going to do? I still need to create my, let's not say that maybe out loud. I still have to do my ESPC session, which is 3 weeks over time by now. So they're not happy with me. So and for the main part, that's about it, I guess. Yeah. Nothing fancy, nothing special. Oh, yeah, it's something I've been doing since COVID started. I'm helping out the local sporting team. My son goes there. It's like they do like multi-move. It's like a little bit of everything. And since they went, they had to go online. So last year I said to them, because they did everything from like, let's email all parents from my Gmail. And they, I said, guys, come on, do you need some help with IT? Yeah, please, please. Because we just, we're gym teachers and we just do this after our hours. So we have no idea how it works. So as luckily they got, it's a nonprofit. So they got a nonprofit license from Microsoft, for Microsoft 365. They're now using Teams. They're using SharePoint. So I'm helping them out with that. They now have, they have like a testing for the kids every 2 months. And they did that on paper. And now I just create a power app for them. Here, take your phone. Do it in there. So yeah, they're super happy. So I'll help them out.
Nice.
Really, really cool. Really cool. What about you, Valdek?
Preparations for build for our flag event next week.
Yep.
Less preps, finishing demos, practicing recording sessions, finishing decks. I think it's going to take for a big part the whole week.
Yeah. I'm done with my pre-recorded on-demand session for build, which is good. So that's all done. I don't need to worry about that one. But then getting more and more focused on Viva Connections, extensibility, and private preview. Well, which is currently ongoing, which we're going to talk about in build, but more on that in the build announcements as well. Mm-hmm. But I think that's it for this one. So thanks, Rick, for joining us. Really good discussion. Good to catch up as well. And thanks for everybody who is watching or listening this in the podcast or watching in YouTube, whatever. So
watching on podcast and listening on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or something. We'll be back with the new PMV Weekly in a week. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.